Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 257. It is August 31st, 2020. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. I'm Scott, and that's Brian Dunaway over there. Hey, Brian Dunaway, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott. Just hanging out a little bit, taking it easy.
I'm glad to hear that. Personal care matters.
Personal mental health matters a lot.
Yeah.
Did you know there were so many crazy people around? I didn't know it. True.
Yeah, no, it's they're everywhere.
Yeah.
We're lousy with them, turns out. It's crazies.
Hey, lousy with him.
I'll tell you
we
what.
We need to be deloused.
Exactly. I want to ask you a question here at the top of the show.
Okay, ask me a question.
Somebody did this to me the other day, and it was weird. I don't want you to think about the answer. I want the first thing that comes to your mind when I ask you this question.
All right.
Or when I say the word, sorry, it's not even a question. When I say the word video game, what comes to your mind?
I'm instantly transported back to my childhood when my dad brought home the first video game system I ever saw. For some reason, when I think of video, I always think old school, because I think I associate videotape.
Yeah.
And immediately I kind of head back towards the 70s and 80s technology. Yeah. Then when you say games, you know, that's when it really started coming into focus. That's when I really looked at games, was early in my life.
All right. So you picture an earlier part of your life just immediately when you hear the term video games. That's right. Funny because when I hear it, I think about 1978 or 9, when my dad brought home our first of what would end up being many, because he had arcades later, but he brought home a Space Invader cabinet, full size, like a big old monster cabinet, and put it in the garage, which pretty much screwed us for the next, 3 months. That's all I did. So that was fun, and that's what I think of. So I hope you enjoyed our little game. Ask yourself.
Hey, so
home.
I got a question for you. You had an arcade. That was your first arcade machine.
Yeah.
And you played all summer. And now most of the people, unless they were lucky enough to have, someone in the arcade business, wouldn't have this opportunity. But did you keep like the coin receptacle open and just like hit that little switch, keep adding coins?
Yeah. So the way it worked back in the day, and some people may not know this, but inside the mechanism, when you put the quarters in, they trip past a little wire. It's like a little square, a squared off piece of steel banding. It's a little bit like a paperclip, sort of, except a little thinner.
Yeah.
And the coin will hit that. And what that does is the physical trigger goes, and that trigger tells the board, oh, we've put a quarter in, add a credit to the thing. And when those don't work, it's usually because that mechanism is fouled up. So when you've had that problem.
Because it's a very simple physical mechanism.
And it can break easy and that sort of stuff. But anyway, what we would do is the doors would just be open. And in fact, they kind of had to be, because the lock thing was like an L lock. So once it was open, it wouldn't shut all the way, which is kind of bang if you hit it too hard. And we would just open that up and then just tickle that little mechanism. Ding, 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 ding.
Right,
and
did you just give it a little ding, 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 or did you give it a like slap, like a pop, pop, pop,
just a gentle tickle,
just a little gentle. Do you remember do you remember how many times you could click it before the machine would just go no more quarters?
Did it? No, in fact, here's the other thing we would do. So some of the boards, it wasn't all of them though. Some of them had free play settings. So, and this was true of most of the stuff that came later, but I remember the first Pac-Man we had did not have a free play setting. You had to gling, gling, gling. But later versions of the board and of the Pac-Man had free play settings. So it just depended on when you got it. But
So it's like hit a little dip switch or something?
Yeah, there were little dip switches in there, and the manual stuff would tell you what switches did what. And it did all sorts of other stuff too, not just free play, but there were other settings. Like, I remember, what game was it? There was a game that it was made harder if you did the right switches. Basically put it in kind of a championship mode. I don't remember what the game was. It was like Galaga or something. I don't remember. But in the case of Pac-Man, like I said, the later ones, we would just do the dip switches for free play, and then there was never any need to flick the thing, so we would just lock it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because it was dangerous. There's a lot of exposed electronics in that door.
There really is.
There is. There's a ton. You open it up, and there's nothing OSHA approved about opening that up. There's just wires hanging.
You got wires running here to and fro.
Yeah, and for all you know, you're touching like an actual live transformer cable or something, right. and out will come Optimus Prime. Not that kind of transformer. Yeah. Follow me, he'd say. Anyway, video games. They're fun. Let's talk more about them. All right, my first game this week is, I wouldn't call this an indie title, but I would also not call it a mainstream AAA title either. Okay,
right. That's we do that. I mean, that's our prerogative, right?
It is, but it's also important to say that because it's weird in that way. It's not a traditional big $60 game in the usual sense of like, oh, a Call of Duty or whatever. This is Wasteland 3, and its previous two outings, I would say, were rather indie-based. They were, smallish efforts that were made to, be a rad Wasteland RPG. And this one, with a big injection from Microsoft money, is out now. They originally announced it, I want to say, E3 last year when we had normal E3s. Mm. And, they were like, it's set in Colorado and it's snowy this time instead of the desert of Arizona or whatever it was. And you're actually traveling. Your characters are traveling from Arizona. You're an Arizona Ranger because Arizona is like a country now. And you're going to
the wasteland.
Yeah. And you're going to the country, basically the country of Colorado. And ooh, in this game, it's very similar to, say, the original Fallout games or. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of another 2D sort of turn-based, combat-based RPG thing.
I think you nailed it. That was the best one.
Yeah. One and two, Fallout 1 and 2 are, considered classics, and they're amazing and everything.
Yeah.
And this is a lot like those, except we're in a fully realized 3D world with, it's still top-down sort of isometric view, but it's it's one of those games. And it's got really, complex and deep character creation stuff, including all their stats and what abilities they have and where they're strong, where they're weak, how you level up the character, you're applying points and all that sort of. I mean, it's a RPG-ass RPG. Mm. And you make your dude look however you want when you start out. Later on, you can get gear that, that has dropped, and then you change appearance based on that gear, but also... If you want, you can go have a whole new look applied to you in these certain places and towns and stuff. But anyway, it's very much like end of world scenario. Everything's, gone all kind of Mad Max, and you're trying to survive. And there's these big factions in these different states that are now basically countries. And
I'm watching the video, by the way.
Yeah.
And okay, so there's a bunch of glowing eyed baby dolls underneath like this ice.
Yeah. Under the lake. It's pretty gnarly. There.
Yeah. The frozen lake they're driving over.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They didn't know they were there in the story, but there's a bunch of baby heads.
Right.
That are like, dolls but they're bombs.
Yeah. Not real baby heads. Oh my gosh. No, baby doll heads.
Yeah. Baby doll heads. And they'll explode if you bump them or run over them or, affect them in any way. Rub up against them. You're in a part of town where there's a lot of, or a part of the country where there's a lot of fighting going on between these sort of rangers and these kind of normal factions and these crazy, like, ultra religious factions. Some of them are just nuts. And I forgot the name of one of them, but the whole time I fought these guys once in a turn-based battle, the whole time there's somebody playing a radio somewhere that's playing this, bathed in the blood of the lamb, just all like Jesus songs and stuff. So it's super creepy and weird. And
but that's what you want.
Oh yeah, you totally want that. The turn-based combat.
Wait, is this Chris and Chris here? I'm looking at. We got Chris with a K, and then Chris,
you can change it around. Yeah, and here's the thing: you can choose these pre-built groups of pairs of people because you go in twos to start before you get your team bigger. you can just pick a pre-built sort of set, and you can kind of choose them based on their abilities and or what they look like, or a combination of both, or you can make your own. And I made my own. So
of course you did.
Yeah, I made them. They all look the way I want them to look. As you can see here now, those watching live and watching the video archive are seeing this, but the combat is handled sort of XCOM style. It's all gridded out, and you do turn-based combat. Enemy has its turn. You take your turns. You have your abilities. You have action points for how much you can move or shoot or whatever. If you played any kind of turn-based RPG in the last 100 years, you know what I'm talking about. So it's one of those, and it's a really, so far, a very good one of those. The best news is this is a $60 game, but it's on Game Pass. And I think that's what I'm talking about. It's also controller support because they also have an Xbox version. But it's with an injection of Microsoft money, is my understanding. These guys developed this game, and I think that means this game is on Game Pass in perpetuity. I don't think it leaves.
Right.
Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's going to stay there.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was a little apprehensive at $60. I was thinking to myself while you were talking, I'm like, yeah, I'm not dropping 60 on this thing. I'll wait until around Christmas time when it drops down to 29 or 30 bucks. But Game Pass, yeah.
No brainer, right? No brainer.
Got it.
Yeah, Game Pass is still the most valuable monthly thing I pay for in games. It's actually right now, I think, the only thing, because I'm not paying for Plus anymore or...
I'm not intentionally. The only time I played for I paid for Plus last time around, so I could play Fall Guys.
Fall Guys. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, look at this! Now you're going to see this in a second when your video catches up. But there's a robot. See, now these robots are
intimidating.
I'm saying that on purpose so people don't send me your email saying it's robots. I know. I'm doing it to be stupid and coy. Anyways, big spider robot thing. And they got these mech kind of creatures. Some of the enemies do. Some of the abilities in the game are you being able to hack these. So there's a little bit of cyberpunk slash Shadowrun in here. You know, some of that sort of stuff. It's not pure Mad Max where everything's made out of dirt and shit. There's machines and things.
So what's it made of again? Dirt and shit. Don't rub that on your face. What's wrong with you?
It's an important distinction, nonetheless. But anyway, so far, it's you know, there are precarious moments of like, I took the whole crew. I ended up with a 5-man team at one point.
Right.
And I took them all upstairs into a building that I hadn't been in. And, that was a mistake because there were traps there and I didn't notice and I killed everybody. So.
Oh, man. But that's good and bad. Does it happen a lot? Or
No. You just have to be thinking, right. Like just be smart. Take one guy up, have the one that's able to detect traps go up. And if he sees them, if he's skilled enough, he can, you know, undo the traps. If he's not skilled up enough, then later you can come back there. I'm still pretty early in the game, but I'm already, this is just made for me. It's my jam from top to bottom. I love the gameplay. I love these kinds of games. I love the tone and the setting. The setting is my jam. Love post-apocalyptic nightmare worlds. My favorite setting for games and movies and TV stuff. So I'm a huge fan. And characterizations are great. The stories are weird so far. Lots of dialogue, spoken dialogue. It's definitely an uptick from 2. 2 was very much like, hey, we're still making one of those, and it's kind of janky, but here it is, and it was okay. I really liked 2, but this feels like somebody got some money.
Yeah, it feels like somebody got some money. So did you play, this is on the Xbox Game Pass. You have the PC version. I'm assuming PC. You play on the PC.
Yeah.
Did you play keyboard and mouse or a controller?
Right now, keyboard and mouse because I actually prefer it. I tried both because I always like to see, you know, how they implement it. I'll say this, like XCOM as an example, controller support is great. Very well thought out, well implemented, no problem. However, if you've got a mouse and keyboard for this kind of game, I think it's the preferable way to control it. Yeah. Same with like Gears Tactics, same thing. It's a game that works in both environments. I think that kind of game plays better with a mouse and keyboard. So that's how I'm doing it.
Right.
What else can I say about this thing? It's very, very cool. By the way, go ahead.
Did you stream this any?
No, not yet. Partly because when I got it, it was late and I was just sort of like, let's check this thing out before I go to bed. And then I played it for like 4 hours like an idiot.
Yeah, that happens.
It's very cool. And it's so reminiscent of like the old Fallouts. Like if you've been missing that sort of thing It's going to be your jam. Currently, it's enjoying a very high rating on Steam. It is number one seller on Steam right now, which is cool. Although Crusader Kings may have taken it over today. People love that thing.
What?
But yeah, I'm not sure. I got to go look. But I think that came out today or maybe tomorrow.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, that's also Game Pass, so don't go spend $60 on that. Also get it on Game Pass. The developers actually reminded me of that on Twitter today. I was talking with somebody about it, and they popped in and said, hey, by the way, even if you're a little nervous about the complexity of Crusader Kings, we have it on Game Pass right now. So I said,
that's interesting that he would have, because that's interesting economy. So, I mean, I really want to know more about that. I want to know if Microsoft kind of pulls like a Spotify kind of thing where they go, oh, well, we have Game Pass money and your game has been downloaded and played this many times. Therefore, here's your.
Oh, I think so. I think they get paid. I think they get money to be on the platform. Like,
right. I absolutely get money. I'm wondering how much, because it's interesting. A developer would say, yeah. Don't bother spending that $60. Just you can play on the Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. I'd be super curious about that, actually.
Right. I'd like to see the numbers.
Anyway, it's so my thing. This is what I'm going to be playing for a while and pretty heavily. I just love this kind of
multiplayer at all.
It's pure single player experience. Is there a co-op? Hold on.
Well, that's what I was curious about, a local co-op, because that might would be the one thing that would get me on Steam with their couch play.
Yeah,
allows you to play.
Let me find out for you. Online co-op. I take it back.
Okay, good.
So you can play with friends.
If you have any.
Here's a review from DualShockers. They say it's the best post-apocalyptic computer RPG I have played since Fallout New Vegas. And one of the better RPGs I've played in a while. I agree with that statement. It's strong. It says this is gaming at its most punk, its most raw, and unapologetic, but never heartless.
I'm not sorry for being so awesome.
Everything here's made out of shit and dog turds.
It's
isn't
just
the same thing.
It's kind of is, yeah. If it sounds like this is, if anyone's hearing this and going, oh yeah, I love those kind of games, I'm telling you, man. Even if you usually play like fantasy versions of this, if you're used to sort of the Baldur's Gates of the world or Divinity Original Sin 2 or something like that, this is one of those, but in this setting. And so they take two of my favorite things and mush them together, and it's just the perfect little sandwich, man. Into it.
Microsoft right. Money, Wasteland 3.
Wasteland 3 just came out.
Yeah, Game Pass now.
Just came out last Friday and available now on Game Pass, and I would really highly recommend you check it out. Brian, tell me all about Evergate.
Well, Scott, I'm going to tell you before I start telling you about Evergate that this week I unintentionally played two games with very similar topics, but very different gameplay. So if I accidentally cross over with my naming conventions of these games, I apologize.
Okay.
But my first game I'm going to talk about is Evergate. I received a game code for this to try out. From Stone Lantern is the developer, and P-Cube Limited is the publisher. I played this on Steam. It is available on Switch. And what it is what you're looking at now, which is a platformer. And you are dead.
It looks like Scott. One of those hard platformers. Right?
It is hardcore. You're watching me play. And actually, what you're watching is a little later on. This is a hardcore 2D platformer where you are in the afterlife and awaiting to be reincarnated as you go through the Evergate back to the really real world. But you're stopped by some memories, which apparently never happens. And you must play through these memories and reveal these memories by going through these areas of platforming. What you're seeing me do is not your typical run. What I'm doing right there is more like a dual stick shooter, and it is made for speed running. The character is dead, of course, and you don't know anything about the character, but you know that the character is related some way to the story that is unfolding before
you. How do you know the character's dead? What's the indication that there's some dead?
Oh, they tell you are dead and you are to be revived. Okay. That's how you know they're dead. The story tells you. That's how you know.
All right.
So you may look at this and go, hey, this looks like Hollow Knight, or it looks like, you know,
a little bit of like Super Celeste Meat Boy or like a Celeste. Yeah, that's us.
Well, the Super Meat Boy, maybe where you're getting, because I'm running this in a speed run mode right now. Mm-hmm. You're seeing me play, like I said, in a speed run mode.
Yeah.
And so Celeste, Ori, those kind
of
games.
Yeah, sorry. You just fell off the edge and made me laugh. Sorry. Keep going.
Oh, did I fall off the edge? Yeah, I'm always falling off the edge.
I had somebody, by the way, somebody got mad at me last week and said that every time we watch a video of somebody else playing a thing, that I rip on whoever it is.
You do, which I love.
I don't think I do. I think sometimes if they're good, I go, oh, he's good. He got to pass the thing. If they're bad, I'm like, yeah, I don't think he was very good. In Brian's case, there's just some funny moments where I can't help but laugh.
But it's good, because what you've done is you've upped my game, because I realize you watch these videos when we're talking about them.
Yeah.
And I have to make sure that I at least make it entertaining, because I didn't show the first part, which is how when you start the game, you'll see there's the uniqueness of this game is in the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
It is a platformer. However, in order to platform and solve puzzles and get from stage to stage, you have to use your soul flame, which is attached to you.
Is that what these little flaming balls are hanging around? You got to hit those or something, or fire it off, or can't?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. So, okay, so this is where it gets a little complicated. And it took a little bit for me to figure out what I was doing and how to play this game. But you have a soul flame, and you shoot it out of your body.
Your butthole.
And
so, your butthole, right?
Your butthole.
Okay,
your butthole. So,
all right.
But it's not as simple as, you know, hey, I have a soul light laser that I can shoot at things. No. What you have to do is, you have to calculate in a 2D world, 360 degrees, you have to calculate where the fuse is, which is called source. So you'll notice there's white areas on the screen if you look, and it looks like little flowers or some kind of plants. And it's all in different parts of the stage where there'll be a source. Then you have to get to a place. Are you laughing because I'm falling?
I am. I'm totally laughing. You're falling.
So in between that source, you have to hit an element. And in this, we're watching right now, is me hitting a diamond element that it's like a force push. You know, when you hit it, it explodes and pushes you forward. But there's other elements too, like fire, that you can set things on fire using that instead of jumping. And what that does is open up areas in the...
Am I seeing like a kind of a bullet time kind of vibe going on here where you get to slow down?
Yeah, that's when you first start playing, you don't have this speedrunner thing turned on that I turned on.
Mm-hmm.
You actually do a bullet time, which you saw, where everything slows down and you can carefully aim where you need to, using a precision if you need to, and find the direction in which you need to propel yourself.
Right.
Right.
It looks nice. So, has a real nice look to it. When you escape to the next level, these stones that open in the rear or the foreground, and you go flying through there. That's awesome.
Yeah. You get like these. So you're playing all in 2D. And then when you transition between each of the areas, it does this 3D look thing. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, this level I'm playing right here is pretty difficult, especially if you're trying to do it through a speed run. So level design on this game, really good. If you're looking for a platformer with some really good level design based on how you're going to get from one place to the next, it's pretty smart, because you don't, in this game, you don't necessarily go, you know, there's more than one path. And sometimes those paths are almost infinite, because there's elements that you can create earth platforms.
Yeah.
So you may be in an area where you need to jump from one platform to the next. And based on that, you may jump, you know, kind of do a leap of faith. And then you have to point towards a source material. And then when the source material and the element for land gets in between you and there, you have to hit the trigger, and then a platform appears underneath you.
Okay.
It gets complicated.
Yeah, it looks like
it's
it does.
It's fun, though.
Even these levels I've seen here, it looks like things get pretty hairy.
Right. And so we're doing artifacts here. As you go along as well, you can get these modifiers called artifacts, and they allow you to either jump longer or stay in the air, fall slower. There's a lot of mixture that just happens, and just every level, it requires you to learn something to overcome the puzzle factor of this game. And I really enjoyed it. At first I got a little frustrated,
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't quite get my, mind around some of how somehow some things were changing. And I'm like, oh, I don't understand, because sometimes you have to fire downward to create, you know, create an effect. And other times you have to fire up. And there's all these different ways that you have to consider.
You dual sticking it when you're doing this, you got to.
And so you're looking, like I said, we looked at the speedrunner. Speedrunner is a dual stick. So when you're playing regular mode, you get to slow time down. It slows down a lot. And you can choose, you know, you can kind of rotate around until you find exactly where you need to be and make your decisions. Here, I'm doing a speed run where you just, the right stick is flick. So you just flick it. And it's just like a dual stick shooter. You kind of jump up where you need to go, and then you flick it, and you hit your little element that you need, and it creates an effect, and you move forward.
And you can restart anytime, it looks like. You just hit a restart button.
Yeah, you can restart instantly, and that's really good for the speed run part. Mm-hmm. You don't usually want to, because any progression you may have made through the level is lost, of course, when you do that. And you're trying to do some collecting.
Yeah.
You'll notice on the top right-hand side, there's several areas for, there's three different things for each level that you can do that will help you progress.
Those are limited. You only use so many of them per level, right?
Well, actually, what they are is it's a calculation of the bottom is if you complete it within so many seconds. So there's a speed run achievement for that. Mm-hmm. There is a using every element, and then there's also a collection component where you're collecting these orbs. I'm trying to remember what the name of the things were now, because like I said,
Orbit Junior, Orbit Time.
Okay, so there's source crystals, and then there's essence orbs.
Oh,
orbs
of
essence.
Orbs of essence, like you would have.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly what you would have.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But anyway, I didn't even mention the setting. The setting is in the... The setting is, of course, in the afterlife. However, most of what's being played is in memories, and we're looking at 18th century China decor, and you're learning through these memories, which are not yours, possibly, and you're learning, and every time you finish a stage, you'll get a little piece. They'll give you a little morsel of the story. So I like being rewarded with story, right?
Story's like great. Here. Everyone loves story.
Here's a little bit of story.
Yeah.
You also play in Alaska, I believe, in the 19th century. And so you're kind of unraveling this whole mystery as you go along. But really, the point really is that the play is just so much
Alaska,
fun.
Weird. It's Why is it
very challenging?
Is this snow you're burning off? Is that what I'm watching?
No, actually what I'm burning off is what's called the source. The source is white, and it actually looks like some kind of, you know, some kind of plants, you know, or flowers. And so when you burn those off, you'll open up platforms that'll move out of the way. But once you do that, if you burn the source, then you can no longer use it to lock into your elements. And so you also see there's like glass
blockades. Melty, almost like ice or something. Yeah.
Right. And so the glass blockades actually have source inside of them. And once you've used them, it explodes those barriers. Right. So it's really complicated. And like I said, at first I was almost turned off because I was expecting, you know, something like, you know, an Ori or something like that. Just, you know, you go in, you just play, you get a good flow going on. But that's not so much here. This is really about getting better. This is about constantly getting a little bit better at your skill.
I can see that.
Solving puzzles.
That's very, that's how I felt about Celeste. Playing Celeste was very
Celeste is a great comparison on difficulty.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's got a nice style. I think this looks cool. Evergate.
I love it.
Made by, let's see, who makes this?
This is Evergate, and it is Stone Lantern is a developer. The developer composer, by the way, the music is fantastic in this. He stopped by while we were streaming this on Twitch. The game officially comes out today on Steam on September the 1st. I'm sorry, that'd be tomorrow, wouldn't it?
Let's hear this music. And
I love the music.
Oh, it's very lovely. Yeah, I like it.
It's fantastic, yeah. And it moves along with the story very well. But you can pick it up on the Switch already, and I think it's around $20 on the Switch, and it's been out for I think a few weeks on the Switch, and it is definitely a place that I would play.
Okay,
it would be on the Switch,
but more broadly available on the 1st, so tomorrow for
tomorrow. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. $20.
Enjoyed it.
Seems rad. I really like the look at that. I will have to look at that more. All right. Speaking of small indie games. I would say this is probably one of those, the one that you just talked about. Let's talk about this small indie game. It's called Inmost. Yeah, that's
Inmost?
Right.
Inmost?
Inmost. And it's like saying, in most of my cereal, I find a prize inside. right? It's called Inmost, and it's a weird game.
Oh, I like the way this looks. Yeah, though, already.
It's a rad vibe for sure. Got this 8-bit looking scrolly thing, but a lot of effects and stuff that this ain't happening on a Nintendo Entertainment System. So it's one of those where, you know, they're definitely going for the aesthetic, but they've enhanced it a lot with a lot of really cool effects. Best I can tell, the way this story's going is I'm this guy with a mustache.
Trying to
and a beard. He looks like you, actually. Like a little dumbway running around. Like, yeah.
Weirdo.
He's running around trying to solve puzzles and not die. And every level is a weird puzzle. Like right then you saw him just squish this like dangerous goo that's almost like Venom goo from Venom.
Yeah.
In order to kill it, he had to push a door over and smash it. So it takes a while to figure that out. Now that actually killed him because he just jumped off too high. So there's like fall damage, all kinds of weird little hidden things. Best I can tell, and again, I'm not super far, so I don't know what the overall point of the story will be, but it just seems like my job is to figure out this weird world and dig through it and find tools. And so it's a combination of a little bit of point and click adventure, but you're not really pointing and clicking. You're controlling a guy like you would Mario or whatever. But there's a lot of things you do, like, oh, I found this weird sickle. I guess that's used to cut these weeds down. All right, cool. I'll do that. Later on, you get a little fire thing, or might get other tools that do certain things. You'll find little ghost bits around, and you want to grab those and collect those.
Oh, you just picked a ghost. Yeah, somebody just got a ghost bit just then.
Yep. Now he's talking to some crying girl. And the worst part about this crying girl, I wonder if he's going to do it like I did. Watch this. See, there he goes. He ended up knocking the person into the hole.
Oh, no.
And at first, I thought it was just me that I just screwed up, but it's part of the story.
Right.
And now your goal is to make them happy again. They've got something in the well they want. You've got the tools to go try to figure out how to help them. And you got to find in the environment, that's how you get down the well? Shit. This whoever's playing. Hey, here's a change. Whoever's playing this just did a better thing than I did playing it. So well done, guy, playing this. Anyway, lots of hidden stuff, lots of reasons to explore. If a wall looks weird, break it. Find out there's something cool in it. Again, kind of hard to tell what the ultimate goal is. I'm still not sure.
But the ultimate goal is just to reveal slowly why you're in this dark blue dank world. Does it lighten up later? I mean, do you get like some, is it always this color palette?
No, it changes. It depends on kind of where you're at, but this kind of James Cameron blue, you know, for lack of a better term, is pretty common throughout most of it. Here's the official description. Escape the depths of an otherworldly labyrinth in this cinematic puzzle platformer. Explore a hauntingly beautiful world with three playable characters in one dark interconnected story.
No.
I've not played any other characters yet because I don't think I actually have access to them yet.
Right.
I think that comes later.
Oh. Well, that fall damage is rough.
It is rough, but it's so good looking. Like, I just love the look of it.
It looks so much. It's so, I don't know. It feels almost immediately familiar, but also kind of new and fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Kind of hard to explain, right? Yeah. And it's one of these games where, like, he just smushed one of the goo ghosts. You don't even know you can do that unless you just start trying stuff.
Right.
And if you die, it'll start you right there in the screen again. It's not like you have to go do a bunch of stuff over again. So it's a lot of trial and error. It encourages you to make a mistake. And if you do, it's okay because you can come back and try again. It's got that kind of nice loop to it. I'm definitely going to keep at this. I think it's rad. So again, it's made by
Hidden. And this is on what is this on? This is called
PC Inmost, all one word, Inmost. It is on PC and Switch currently, and that's it. They may have more coming. Currently, money wise, $15, $14.99 on both platforms. So if you're wanting to buy it on one or the other,
yeah, Chucklefish is a publisher. I know. I've seen some other games by Chucklefish, and Hidden Layer Games is the developer.
Yeah, and they have a lot of hidden layers in this game. I have to tell you.
Look, they did. No, I was going to say, I thought the color palette changed, but
a little bit. You got a little sepia a little bit of pink in the background with the sunset and stuff. But it you know, this right now, this has jumped to this other character. I've actually not gotten.
Is it another character?
Yet.
Is that? I thought that's the same character.
I think it's a new guy. Now he's going to have abilities the other dude doesn't have,
like Walker tennis ball abilities. Is that? because he's walking around on a walker. That's a cane, isn't it? Yeah. A walker.
Yeah, he's just barely getting around.
You ever had one of those tennis balls for walker furniture?
Yeah, I mean, I never had one, but my uncle had he had the one like the dude on Up had.
Right.
The one, it was a cane, but it clawed out at the bottom in the three prongs and then had balls on the prongs. He was super into that thing. He loved it. Really, but anyway, it's very cool. Came out August 21st, and so it's been a week or two in most PC and Switch.
Now, do you play PC or Switch?
PC is where I got it.
This seems like a Switch game for me. This seems like it would fit right in.
Oh,
on
it's
there.
Super Switchy. Yeah, my feeling too was like, oh, I should get this on the damn Switch because it's
$15. That's pretty. You're giving this thing away.
Yeah, it's not bad. I got this came as a code, so that's why I have it on Steam. But if I was buying this new, I'd probably go Switch.
Yeah, I could see.
It's just that kind of game where I'd love to take it on the road or whatever. But available now. Check it out. Quick mention, though, for me, I am trying to, between all of these games, I'm trying to 100% Mad Max.
Oh, look at you, the 100% on the Mad Max. Yeah. That's insane.
2015's Mad Max, fantastic game, way underrated, made by the Just Cause people. An amazing game, and just really delves in deep into that world. I'm in Gastown right now. It's fantastic. Anyway, trying to beat that. I'm trying to 100% it, so I'm not just trying to beat this main story. I'm gonna get all the way.
I'm kind of proud of you, Scott. Yeah. You're really growing up.
Well,
over the years.
We'll see if it works. If I get there.
No. You just said you was in Gastown. Did not make a fart joke. That was
because I'm always special. In Gastown. I'm always in Fart special. Town. I'm sorry, Gastown, right. Flammable body waste town. All right. Brian, tell us about what are we playing here? We got Spiritfarer. Sorry.
Yeah, returning back over to our Xbox Game Pass as you do. This is for the PC as well as the console. It is Spiritfarer. It's not the easiest thing to say, but I am playing this on the Xbox Game Pass, but it's available on the Steam, Switch, and PS4. So it's everywhere. I'm gonna quickly give their description.
Oh, this one is the one everyone's telling me to play. That's got like
it is
overwhelmingly positive reviews, and it has like I've heard people have written me said, dude, if you're not playing this, you're not playing video games. What are you doing?
Both my games this week, like I said, have had the topic of otherworldly afterlife kind of themes.
Yeah,
and so this one does too, but it's a little bit. It's so beautiful and so charming. It is Spiritfarer. You are now the new ferryman for those who are dead. And so you take over from the old guy, no problem. And you are this 2D animated character, and you hang out with your good old cat, Daffodil.
Oh,
why not, right?
Adorable, right? Sure.
And it is a slow start, and you think that it's like, what is this game that I'm playing? This simplistic game that looks like something a kid would want to play and not something an adult would even care about. Deceptive, Scott, is what this game is.
Yeah.
You slowly start to learn that what you're really doing is facing your own death. No, that's not true.
Oh, geez.
But there are some very heavy, very heavy topics here. Yeah. And it's mostly about death, and it's about acceptance of death and moving on. And how you do that is through the gameplay. You are the fairy.
Yeah.
Ferryman.
Is there a genre you would say, oh, this is a lot like such and such? Or is this kind of its own thing?
You know, I'm sure somebody's got some, this is a lot like such and such, but I've never played a lot like such and such, apparently.
All right. So you would say this feels unique to you, like not like some other take on a genre. This isn't just another side-scrolling roguelike or something like that.
No, okay. I would not describe it as that. And more than anything, it teaches you how to slow down, appreciate the moment, and to do what they call cozy management. And what that kind of means is you got to make sure that these people who you are ferrying to their final departure, you need to make sure that their needs are met, because they've got some final things that they need to do. Sometimes that'll be part of your quest, where you'll have to, you know, go and fetch something for them.
Yeah.
And you sail using your ferry. So it's not really a ferry like you would think. It's not like the old school, just simple ferry. You actually got a ship that you will upgrade as you go along. You'll make places for your your people.
Oh, it's the whole boat complex. It's not just that little tiny boat. It's the whole big boat. I thought that was right. Just the shore where you pulled up or whatever.
No, no, no. You actually, there's a whole area on your boat that you build where they can live up until, you know, you depart. And the idea is to get you to know each of these characters. And the very first characters you meet are all people who are familiars. It is people who were relatives, maybe an uncle or something such as that. And so you have a little history with them, and they kind of get you to kind of get engaged and understand what their needs are. And you need to fulfill those needs by doing things such as collecting, which is what we're doing now in the boat, where we found a wreckage and we're going to get out and we're going to collect some things because we got to feed our guest who you are taking to their final
destination. Feed our guest. Right. Made with real gorilla chest, right? Do I have that right?
Exactly, from The Simpsons. So you got it. Like I said, there's a little bit of, there's fishing, there's cooking, there's building, there's management of your guest. And this is overwhelmingly positive, by the way.
Yeah, look at this. Look at these reviews, dude. Just out of control. People loving this thing.
It is a lot of fun. Like I said, at first when I started, I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be my jam. I don't think
someone wrote Stardew Boat. You think that's a fair comparison?
Oh, you know,
maybe.
I don't know, because I don't feel like that gameplay is the most important thing here. I think really the most important thing is you got to know your characters to fulfill their needs. Mm. And so you really got to listen, because I mean, I don't really feel like, you know, like I don't feel like I'm on a fetch quest. You know, yeah. Usually you feel like, oh, I've got to do this.
Yeah,
because, you know, it's to continue the story. That's what I got to do. You actually feel invested enough to go, I got to do that because, well, I like this character.
Yeah.
And I want them to be comfortable. And as such, you do just that. You can upgrade things. Yeah. You have, by the way, I was trying to remember the name of the thing because, like I said, I played two games with kind of similar elements. In this game, actually, you have, I'm trying to figure out what the magical force that you wield is. I'm sure somebody in the chat room will get it before I do, but there's a magic force that you wield and as the ferryman and Star. Mm. That's the reason why. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get it now? Now you get it.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Right.
I also get it now. Oh, you have a cat. Yeah, you mentioned this cat. Cat seems to just kind of go wherever you go, which is what cats do, I guess.
Right. And I think there is a aspect of the game I have not gotten to. I'm only about 4 or 5 hours into the game, so this is not my final review on this game. This is just my initial review, because this game goes on for somewhere around 30 plus hours if you really want to try to complete any part of it. Matter of fact, I haven't even I've only turned in one of my ferries that I had to carry.
Carry the ferry. Yeah,
you carry the ferry. It's very emotional, but not in a way that makes you sad, but in a way that makes you feel hopeful. Maybe.
Yeah, I've heard that about this. It's got a nice the game doesn't feel like how do I put this? It treats death with respect.
Yes,
and also makes you go, yeah, I guess death's just part of life. So here we are dealing with it, and it's okay. It's okay to deal with death, and I don't know. It's kind of, I like that. I like that a lot, especially right now.
I think you'll like this game, but like I said, it is one of those games that it's not a lot like other games, in my opinion, in especially in the pacing. And so if you're playing this game, you're probably not playing anything else. You're just going to play this and through completion, and it's you know, you get in kind of that groove, and it's like, okay, this is the game loop I want to play, and I'm going to.
Did you play Moonlighter at all? Just curious.
I played a little bit of Moonlighter.
Okay. I did. So Moonlighter I loved. I was a huge fan.
Right.
Moonlighter, what you've described to me sounds a little bit like something I might enjoy in the way that I enjoyed Moonlighter. Because Moonlighter was like, yeah, there's combat and there's dungeons and there's stuff to do. But also, hey, you're coming back to your store and you're selling shit. And it's a different game than just go kill stuff. And, you know, I feel like there's, I don't know, a little bit of that going on here. Like,
Mostly about management more than anything. You know, you gotta do it. It's mostly about management, but it's not really about that. It's about story more than anything.
It looks like my jam. I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I am totally going to play. I meant to play it actually this week and I didn't.
Yeah. Spiritfarer. Well, the only thing I don't like about it.
The name. The name
is. It's Spirit Fairer is hard for me to say. It is.
So it's supposed to be Spirit Fairer.
Fairer.
Yeah, it sucks. It's not a great name.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, it's kind of tough there. But this, like I said, 30 hours. Thunder Lotus Game is the developer and the publisher. Good on ya. And this was released on August the 18th, 2020. 30 plus hours is how long it'll take you to finish most of the main story. Mm-hmm. And then $30 is if you want to buy it outright, or if you have the Xbox Game Pass, do that now.
Oh, yeah, there it is, $29.99. But you, yeah, like Game Everywhere. Pass as usual. It feels like new games are coming out on Game Pass first before they do anything
too,
else.
Too fast almost. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
I like
even it. Even my just to mention, I've only read what the update is, yeah. And I haven't even had a chance to even play it, and that's Grounded. They have a big update came out. They've added a big scary bird, water fleas. They've changed the perk system up and some new craftable items.
Can you adjust how scary the birds are like you can the spiders, or is that not?
I don't know, man. I didn't think the spiders were, well, the spiders were scary, but fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
By the way, Evergate has a area where they first start introducing you into the idea of speedrunning, and they do that by every time you activate an element, a bird comes flying across the screen, and it scared the crap out of me just about every freaking time. Big birds.
You hear about people that think birds are drones. There aren't such things as birds. No, birds are fake, and they're just drones.
Birds are fake. I haven't even heard this.
I don't know if people are serious about it or not. But
oh my gosh.
You can buy
shirts. What's great?
What?
You know what's great? Conspiracy theories are a great, a great thing to make sure that, reality is reality. However, there comes a point where you can't live your life every day thinking that.
No, they're all bad. They're all bad. There's no such thing as a good conspiracy.
I don't know. Like I said, I think it's important that we think about things.
Yeah, but that's not thinking about things. That's accepting a thing that isn't accurate. Yeah, that's people going, that's them going, I don't understand a thing. This guy says this overly simplified answer that seems kind of sneaky. I like that story. I'm going to go with that.
Right.
That's not investigating. That's not thinking for yourself.
That's not investigating at all. No, it is not. But oh my gosh. So conspiracies lead to paranoia, and paranoia can be revealed in a society where there are a lot of mental health issues, and we have seen so many problems recently.
Yeah. Don't be. I'm just saying, don't buy into it. Someone tells you the earth is flat. Yeah. Freaking walk away. Walk away.
But you can't, Scott. The earth is round. You'll just fall.
Yeah. Keep walking until you fall off. Let us know how that goes. I think you'll be fine is what I'm thinking. All right. Awesome. Grounded. Nice to see they're keeping going on that and stuff. Now, everybody, time for this.
It's a meme.
Time to play Guess My Game. We play audio clips from games of old, and then we try to guess what each other's game is. That's right. I have a game that I will now play for you the sound of from.
And now I will listen to this game.
And you're going to try to guess what it is. So here you go, chat room. Play along. Here you go. Quick note, I'll just give you a little hint. The year is 1998.
Okay.
And the platform is the personal computer.
Oh, the PC.
The PC. Okay, here we go.
And then there were guns.
War never changes.
Oh.
The end of the world occurred pretty much as we had predicted. Too many humans, not enough space or resources to go around. The details are trivial and pointless. The reasons, as always, purely human ones.
All right, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a post-apocalyptic type of video game from 1998 for the PC.
Yeah.
And say that Fallout was on your mind.
Well, technically Fallout 2, but I'll give it to you.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I'll give it to you.
Fallout 2.
That's a hard one. Black Isle Studios, Fallout 2, developed and released for 1998. Big year for video games, actually, in general.
I took a little dip back into both of these, 1 and 2. Last year, I picked it up on Good Old Games.
Mm.
Good Old Games.
You should play it. It still holds up.
Yeah, I never really played it back in the day. I did not play.
It looks like ass, but it plays great. Yeah. The game plays great, but it looks
terrible. Still looks like ass on good old games.
It's 98. Too, I mean, come on. It's like StarCraft. Remember those StarCraft cutscenes? Expect more of that. Yeah. It's bad. Bad, 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 but great game. I will say this. What was I going to say? Oh, you know how the new one, maybe the most latest one, or maybe it's 76.
76?
Might have been 4. But anyway, one of those two games used, what's Hellboy's name? Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
They used Ron Perlman for VO. And I swear this sounds like a young Ron Perlman. So I'm going to play it one more time, just this part. And you tell me if it sounds like
him. I can see that.
War never changes. The end of the world occurred pretty much as we...
It sounds like a younger, like a little... Is it him?
Is it I don't know. Perlman? Actually, it sounded like somebody else I couldn't place, though. I instantly got a familiarity.
Chat room saying he does them all. I did not freaking know
does
that.
Does he? Yep. Wow.
Had no idea.
I did not know that.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
Okay, here it is. Oh, yeah, he's all up in this. Let's see if he started. Did he start with the first one? Fallout. Yeah. Narrated Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout 3, Fallout Tactics, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, and Fallout, well, the trailer for 4, there. Not in the game, but in the trailer he did 4, and then Fallout 76. That's great.
Interesting. How do I not know that? That's like something that should be on the tip of my tongue, and that should be like something that's like a duh. How did I not know that?
I knew he was in 4, because I heard his voice around and in 4, but I just could not remember. Also, I played 76 not long ago, just kind of tweaking around, and I did hear him again, but I couldn't remember what context, so now it was all bleeding together. I didn't know he was always there. That's great. It says here, he's the newscaster also for the quest War Never Changes in Fallout 4. So there's a quest with him being the newscaster guy, and that's literally called War Never Changes is the name of the quest. Huh. He also did, he does not narrate the introduction for Fallout Brotherhood of Steel. Instead, that was Tony J who did that. Anyway, cool, man. I didn't know
that. That is cool. I feel kind
of
stupid, but I'm so glad I have the information now. I don't know how I never put that together.
I didn't either. And plus, you have to admit, this is a different kind of read for him. Because these days, it's like,
boy, my voice is 1,000 times deeper than it used to be. You know, like,
right. I sound like I've been chewing on dog turds and smoking cigarettes.
That's perfect for the Fallout world.
Yeah.
Perfection. This just makes me want to play Wasteland 3, which I'm going to do after the show. All right.
Do it.
Brian, here's yours. Any setup you want to tell me?
Oh, yeah. This? Here's some setup.
Go.
Also, 90s. This was, and if you can't guess it within the first 20 seconds, then after that, you better guess it or I'm going to be... disappointed.
Okay.
Just disappointed.
Fair enough. Here goes.
No pressure.
Okay. Change it.
Work there, dude.
Yeah. Oh! It's Beavis and Butthead. It's Beavis and Butthead doing something.
Of course, Beavis and Butthead.
What's the game?
Beavis and Butthead 19 is SNES.
Was it just called
Beavis and Butthead? Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Hold on. What did they do in this game? Like, what'd you do? Just roll around? You run around and just piss off that neighbor.
Just those little side scrolling pieces of trash game that you would find. It's 19. Let me see when it was. I guess it probably should have been 1998. Why is it not showing me the?
Is it 98?
I think so. Let me see.
It is very odd. I think those games, you know, it's funny. What is it? Okay. If in the 90s, side scrollers were your knockoff for all your tie in games, if that was your genre, what is it today? Is it shooters? Or is it?
Yeah, probably so.
Probably shooters, right?
That would be the de facto thing to go to, right?
Hey, I can't think of anything else. I think that's it. I think if you're making a tie-in game now, you go for shooter types. Yeah.
1994 was when the game came out. It was
94. Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. Same year as Aladdin and the Lion King, or at least Aladdin,
which were good games.
Those were great games. Aladdin was like legit good.
It was. I love it so much. Yeah. I love Aladdin so much.
Did you get? Stupid. Did you have? Were you tempted to get that remastered thing that came out?
Absolutely. I haven't. I'm still may have to. Right.
I think I'm getting that Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remake thing. I think I'm doing it.
I've been thinking about that too.
It looks really good. It looks really darn good. I wonder if that's on Game Pass on day one. Then there's
I hope so.
Then there's no question. The application's out of date.
What?
Sorry. What does that even mean? I got a message here from Google Docs saying this application is out of date, must be restarted. Do they just mean they've updated Google Docs?
Right. In the middle of Google Docs? In the middle of docking?
I'm going to refresh, see what happens.
I don't know, but I forgot about this. I do remember there being a PlayStation Beavis and Butthead, and it was called Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity. Oh, my gosh.
What a bunch of crap. That sounds like crap.
I should have played this one. Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity is a point-and-click adventure computer game based on the American animated television series created by Mike Judge.
So hold on.
Point-and-click.
That was a PS1 game?
That's what it's got a PlayStation logo on it. That'd be PlayStation time.
There's also Beavis and Butthead Do Hollywood. That was a game. Well, that looks like crap. They made little 3D versions of it. It looks terrible. There's also Beavis and Butthead Virtual Ahu Shooter.
All right. Look at this. Abandoned games, which you don't know if you ever watch out, but sometimes games are abandoned. They don't keep their copyright or anything, and so let's see. Virtual Stupidity is on here, but I don't know if it actually is or not.
This is nuts. This even exists. Oh my gosh, there are so many Beavis and Butthead games.
It's crazy. Yeah, I didn't realize there were so many because
there was a black and white Game Boy game.
Oh,
this is real bad. Hold on. Is this Japanese? What is this?
There's real love for these games, apparently, too. At least
we'll see what the sound is
in the
here.
Breadth of information.
Is this a Japanese production? Because it's all in English, the scroll.
Right.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Those aren't Mike Judge. Those are somebody else.
Yeah, this is somebody.
Okay, Virtual Stupidity.
Stupidity.
Okay.
Stiff Stupidity.
Let's see what happens here in the beginning.
Dabunubaga.
It's Japanese. I don't know what to make of that, dude.
I want to watch that to completion.
That's great. I love weird, stupid stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh.
More of that in my life. All right. Good catch. Now this. Going to play a little email, or read one, actually. Read an email. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address you're going to want to use on the frequent. And if you send us an email, gosh darn it, we'll read it right here on the show.
Right here.
Here's one from Wes, or Wes Words when he's in the chat room. He's not here today.
Wes Words.
Yeah, but I've seen that name before.
What's up?
It says, hey, gentlemen, I was listening to the Boop Show a couple of weeks ago, maybe, and Brian mentioned he restarted his PS Plus sub, which is true. That got me to thinking that I hadn't played anything over there in months. Mm-hmm. I always get the game, but rarely download and play it. Anyway, this is the first time I let my 16-year-old son pick something, and he wanted to play Titanfall 2. Man, what a great game. My son and I had a blast playing through the campaign over the last few days. Thanks for reminding me to check my PlayStation Plus. Love the show. Sincerely, Wes. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
As someone who recently also finished that campaign, was reminded how rad it was and that it's, I don't know, in my top 3 shooter campaigns of all time. It might be at number 1. That's how much I love it.
It's up there. I think a lot of people don't think of Titanfall lots of times. People just kind of forget about it, but it was pretty darn good.
Titanfall is so good. Dude, Titanfall 2 deserves a proper sequel, and I hope they eventually do it. I know it got a little drowned out the year it came out, 2016, whatever it was. There was a lot of other games that year. They deserve another shot at it. They're making all their Apex Legends money now so they can do it.
Yeah.
So just do it, okay?
Call it Titanfall and just make it a campaign. Don't try to roll it up into the Apex thing. Apex, but keep it over there.
Well, they're in the same universe, so it's nothing.
Yeah, they are. Exactly.
Yeah, so but they don't have to tie it in there. Here's what they call it. Titanfall Tactics. Titanfall... The rest is history. I don't know what you name it. I don't care what you name
Titanfall 3. No.
Just three. Just call it three. It's fine. Just be done. I don't mind. If you want to be like Wes and send us these emails, you can. Boopshow@gmail.com. All right. I think that's going to do it for the show. Quick note of two things happening here. One, I'm going to tell you some information. And two, I'm going to give everyone a video, or I'm going to give a video game away at the end of the show today in the chat room. So hang around for that, because you could win a rad game off the Humble Bundle. And there's some good ones on my list. So stick around, because that's coming right up. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our web address. You know, the internet. You can just go there and be on the internet and use it. You can also leave us emails at boopshow@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @boopshow. I'm @ScottJohnson. Brian's @TheBrianDunaway. Brian, anything you want to mention before we go?
Hey, don't forget to tune in Thursday when I head back to The Legend of Zelda. Link's Awakening on the Switch. Yeah. Trying to finish this thing up. Hopefully you don't have too many more to go. But Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Wait, 6 p.m. Eastern is 4 o'clock my time. So
correct.
Mountain time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon in California. So that's okay. You're on fire. It'll be fine. That's it for the show. Thank you all for being here. That's going to do it for me and Brian. If you've got any questions, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Well, that'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.